the middle of the garage, there were two pits, in one of which Cahill's father was, at the moment, putting in a clutch. There was a radio, on which advice was being given about looking after fish in an aquarium.
"Will you turn that stuff off?"
Cahill's father shouted from under the car he was working on, and Cahill searched the wave bands until he found music of his father's time. He was an only son in a family of girls, all of them older, all of them gone from the town. Three to England, another in Duns in Galway, another married in Nebraska. The garage was what Cahill knew, having kept his father company there since childhood, given odd jobs to do as he grew up. His father had had help then, an old man who was related to the family, whose place Cahill eventually took. He tried the bolt again, but the WD-40 hadn't begun to work yet. He was a lean, almost scrawny youth, dark-haired, his long face usually unsmiling. His garage overalls, over a yellow T-shirt, were oil-stained, gone pale where their green dye had been washed out of them. He was 19 years old.
"Hello," a voice said.
A man and a woman, strangers, stood in the wide open doorway of the garage.
"How are you?" Cahill said.
"It's the possibility, sir," the man inquired. "You drive us to the Sacred Virgin?"
"Sorry?"
And Cahill's father shouted up from the pit, wanting to know who was there.
"Which virgin's that?"
Cahill asked. The two looked at one another, not attempting to answer, and it occurred to Cahill that they were foreign people who had not understood. A year ago, a German had driven his Volkswagen into the garage with a noise in the engine, so he'd said. "I had hopes it'd be the big end," Cahill's father admitted afterwards, "but it was only the catch of the bonnet gone a bit loose." A couple from America had had a tire put on their hired car a few weeks after that, but there'd been nothing since.
"Of Paul Derg," the woman said. "Is it how to say it?"
"The statue you're after."
They nodded uncertainly, and then with more confidence, both of them at the same time.
"Aren't you driving yourselves, though?"
Cahill asked them.
"We have no car," the man said. "We are travelled from Avila." The woman's black hair was silky, drawn back and tied with a red and blue ribbon.
Her eyes were brown, her teeth very white, her skin olive. She wore the untidy clothes of a traveller, denim trousers, a woolen jacket over a striped red blouse. The man's trousers were the same, his shirt a nondescript shade of greyish blue, a white kerchief at his neck. A few years older than himself, Cahill estimated they'd be.
"Avila," he said.
"Spain," the man said.
Again, Cahill's father called out, and Cahill said two Spanish people had come into the garage.
"In the store," the man explained, "they say you drive us to the Virgin."
"Are they broken down?"
Cahill's father shouted. He could charge them €50. Poldark there and back, Cahill considered. He'd missed Germany versus Holland on the television. Maybe the best match of the cup, but never mind that for €50.
"The only thing," he said, "I have an exhaust to put in."
He pointed at the pipe and silencer hanging out of Heslin's old Vauxhall, and they understood. He gestured with his hands that they should stay where they were for a minute, and with his palms held flat made a pushing motion in the air, indicating that they should ignore the agitation that was coming from the pit. Both of them were amused. When Cahill tried the bolt again, it began to turn. He made the thumbs-up sign when the exhaust and silencer clattered to the ground.
"I could take you at around 7,
he said, going close to where the Spaniard stood, keeping his voice low so that